Commence with a short recitation of the Quran as usual for purposes of invoking the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Lam yakunil ladhina kafaru min ahlil kitabi wal mushrikina munfakkina hatta ta'tiyahumul bayyinah. رسول من الله يتلو صحفا مطهرة فيها كتب قيمة وما تفرق الذين أوتوا الكتاب إلا من بعد ما جاءتهم البينة وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة إن الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب والمشركين في نار جهنم خالدين فيها أولئك هم شر البرية إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أولئك هم خير البرية جزاؤهم عند ربهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه ذلك لمن خشي ربه. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهداه وبعد. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن عين لا تدمع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن بطن لا يشبع ومن دعاء لا يسمع. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all his companions, his family members. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them all. May he bless the messengers who came before him as well, and may he bless every single one of us, and may he make us messengers of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May he also bless our offspring and keep them steadfast on this deen, and may he grant us every form of goodness. Honored ulama, brothers and sisters in Islam, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we indeed do absolutely everything we do, or we should be doing. Because naturally it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created us. الَّذِي خَلَقَ. It is He who has created. It is Allah who made. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. Indeed, it is for Allah. The creation is the instruction of Allah. And naturally, if He is the creator, He is the commander and instructor. When you create, when you've made, you can decide what you would like to do with what you've made. So the laws we have that are sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us, it is solely His decision. Nobody else can decide how Allah wants to be worshipped because He made us. So when Allah made us, it is His decision how He wants us to worship Him. And this is why I read the surah before you, Al-Bayyinah. In it, there is a particular verse that is a shahid, that is what I'd like to raise now, and it is وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَى. Indeed, they have not been instructed except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely, completely, Naturally, all acts of worship are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our entire existence is owed to the one who made us and created us. And this is why, subhanallah, we are not allowed to engage in any act of worship besides that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed and taught. And I'm sure we all know that it is impossible for us to do anything that we would consider religious or an act of worship or qurbah, that through which we would like to attain the closeness of the Almighty, except that which was taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why we need to know primarily as part of our Islamic knowledge that there are two conditions before any act of worship can be acceptable. The first is that that act of worship should be done solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and only sincerely in the name of Allah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, it should be following the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because naturally he was the one sent to us in order to remove us from darkness to light. Subhanallah. He was the one who brought this goodness to us. So whenever we say in the name of Allah, there is no point in saying in the name of Allah when what we are doing is actually outside what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed or sent down, has revealed or has permitted. And this is why you find the ulama of old and the ulama of this age, all of them extracting and drawing from what was taught to us by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they have all taught us that without these two conditions we are wasting our time, and not only that, we could be achieving sin. Let me take you back to Surah Al-Kahf. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Powerful verses at the end of Surah Al-Kahf. Whoever would like to meet their Rabb, and naturally I found that as part of what was the write-up on the topic that I have right now, whoever would like to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs to prepare for that. By doing what? They need to be prepared for the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have everything that would please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in place. If you were to meet the rugby player this evening, inshallah, I see some of you might be thinking, what does this mean? Well, we're trying to bring him along here, inshallah. If you were to meet the rugby player this evening and you happen to show so much enthusiasm, but you know nothing about rugby, and you come with a soccer ball and say, please can you sign here? It would be foolish, but that's an example we understand. I don't think any one of us would be that silly. Why then do we find ourselves religiously making the same blunders? In fact, we're about to take a tennis ball. Allahu Akbar. May Allah safeguard us. Really? And then we find ourselves sometimes thinking, no, that man is too strict, and this one is too strict. No! A winner is the one who understands the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and knows that sin is better than innovation. And this is a statement that we must understand. What this means is, when we are doing something wrong, and we are justifying it, what hope do we have to rectifying it? Nothing. Because we are wrong, and we believe we are right. This is why verses before this last verse of Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pose a question. What is the question? Should we inform you of he who is the loser regarding the deeds that he has done? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ghashiyah, عَامِلَةٌ نَصِبَةٌ تَصْلَى نَارًا حَامِيَةً. Someone who had done a lot of deeds, they have toiled, but in the wrong direction, they will still be heading, may Allah protect us all, towards hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. So the verse continues to say that if we are from amongst those who would hope to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to do deeds that are purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, they should be in conformity to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has brought, and at the same time without engaging in any form of partnership
with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you know what he says? أَنَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَاءِ عَنِ الشِّرْكِ مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا أَشْرَكَ فِيهِ مَعْيَ غَيْرِي تَرَكْتُهُ وَشِرْكَهُ. That's a known hadith. It should be on our lips. Allah says, in a partnership, I am the independent partner. Imagine, say for example, there are two partners in a business. And you have one who's loaded, absolutely wealthy. And the other one is extremely poor. And they make a profit of 10 bucks. What happens? The rich man will say, ah, keep it, don't need it, take it. I'll give you another 10 if you want. That is a worldly example. The example of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far higher than that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He describes Himself, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. O people, you are the ones who are totally dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the absolute independent. He doesn't need any one of us. So naturally, if we were to engage in a deed wherein we have associated a little partnership with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He would then flick the deed away and off, and it would return to the one who has engaged in it as a sin and as a crime. And this is why we say, to engage in innovation is far worse than to be committing a sin. When a person is drinking alcohol knowing that it's wrong, one day inshallah they will be leaving it. Or that conscience within them will discourage them from it and encourage them to leaving it. But if they are drinking alcohol thinking, you know what, it's just grape juice. Come on, it's the middle stage between vinegar and juice. If that's the case, what will happen? This is why the verse that comes just before that, Allah says, do you want to know those who are losers in terms of their deeds? Those whose deeds are completely astray. The deeds have led them astray. And yet, they thought what they were doing was actually good. So with us, and this is what I'd like to commence with, we do not know what is good and bad, except after having been taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of acts of worship. And this is why we always give an example of salah, because it's a simple example, but we need to apply that example in everything else in our lives, because everyone lives in different communities, they have different people around them who do all sorts of things. If we are out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are so happy that He's given us our lives and the air we breathe and everything else, and then we say, Ya Allah, I really am so happy that You created me, You made me, I worship You, and I worship You alone. And then we decide, so for dhuhr, instead of the four raka'at, we are now coming up with a fifth one. Out of happiness, out of gratitude, out of worshipping Allah alone, what would happen? That is in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it acceptable? The whole dhuhr will be cancelled. Not just the four will be plugged in and the fifth one will drop out. No, the entire thing is cancelled, because when it comes to ibadat, we need to know all ibadat are prohibited besides those which are taught by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's a law of the sharia. It's well known that when it comes to ibadah and acts of worship, we are not allowed to decide how we will gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He decided. Why? أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. Allahu Akbar. For Him is to create. He creates. And the instruction belongs to the Creator. So He instructs, He orders. Subhanallah. This is why as parents, Allah chose us as a means for bringing our children into this world. May Allah grant those who don't have offspring, offspring. And may Allah grant those who do have offspring, the fact that their offspring be the coolness of their eyes within the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. It's becoming more and more challenging as the years are passing to look after our own children. So it's important for us to know that when we have our own children, we expect them to listen to us. Because we looked after them when they were helpless, when they didn't have anything, and we bore them and so on. All of this is by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How bad would you feel? In fact, I was speaking to someone yesterday here in Cape Town, and they told me the worst feeling is when your own child lets you down. I think some of us might nod our heads. There we are. The worst feeling is when your own child lets you down in a big way. It's the worst feeling, because that's the last thing expected. You changed their nappies and you did this and you did that. May Allah make us those who are the coolness of the eyes of our own parents to begin with, within the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So naturally, if we feel so possessive when it comes to our own parents, what about the Creator? He made us from nothing. He created us with kun. Amruhu bayna al-kaf wa al-noon. The instruction of the Creator is between a kaf and a noon. Kun. I was listening to a recitation in the vehicle of one of the Imams of the Haram, and he read as follows. He says, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونُ فَسُبْحَانَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And I paused for a moment and I said, amazing. Look at that. It's proper. He stopped at kun. Because that's what Allah says. A lot of us who don't know Arabic, we think the command is kun fayakun and then it happens. No. It is kun and it happens. Kun means be and it is. And this is why we say when man makes, man always makes. It's not creation. It is actually transformation of one creature of Allah into another creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which means you have a tree which is a creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cut the wood and you made a chair. You didn't create a chair. All you did is you transformed one of the creatures of Allah into, meaning the same creature, but into something else that may have provided the use that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obviously permitted, or within the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, if we were to stand in front of anything, like Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَن يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَوِ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهِ. Those who are being called out besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those whom you are associating as partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or those whom you are calling besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will not be able to create even a single fly, even if they had to gather to try and achieve that. If anyone were to stand and say, kun, what will happen? Wallahi, we'd have to take them. Obligatory. We'd have to take them to the mad hospital, to be honest with you. If someone says, kun, and they look again and say, kun, and they look again and they say, kun, wallahi, that is foolish. That is madness. So why do we associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Whether in a small way or a big way, it cannot happen. Those who do that, they have not prepared for the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to prepare for that meeting. And that meeting can be prepared for in many ways. But primarily, these are the two points we need. Al-ikhlasu lillahi wal-mutaba'atu lirasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Primary. You need to be sincere for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you need to do that which is taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So naturally, if we were to engage in salah, now this is the other side of the coin. If we were to engage in salah properly, following, meaning whatever we know, exactly as per the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we start our salah and we engage in it slowly and so on. But within our hearts, we are doing it for the sake of someone. Or for a reason besides the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then too, we have destroyed our deed. So there are two ways, two main or primary ways of the destruction of our own deeds. Firstly, through associating partnership with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And naturally, that term is a very, very broad term. And secondly, when we do something that was not taught by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Last night I made mention of a few pointers where the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam are so, so indeed definitely prophetic that they would last up to the day of Qiyamah, together with the words of the Quran, which are obviously far higher because those are the direct words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will never ever be able to say that any word is inapplicable. No, everything is applicable up to Qiyamah. And this is why I say, when Allah has decided that a woman will cover her hair, that's His supreme decision. Alone, nobody makes decisions and nobody questions Him. لا يسأل عما يفعل. He will never be asked what He does. وهم يسألون. But as for the rest of creation, they will be asked. So Allah is the decider. It's not up to me. It's up to Allah. When Allah, who made me and created me, decided that I lower my gaze, it's His decision. I need to do that. If Allah has decided that I will engage in salah, I must, then I will. I am a Muslim. And this is what will prepare me for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I'm giving a charity, we are taught not to follow it with man and other.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُبْطِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى.
O you who believe, do not destroy the reward of your deeds, of your sadaqat, your charities, by bragging about it and by harming others. And obviously there's a deeper tafsir to that. But the gist of it we have. What's the point of giving a charity and constantly reminding the person, hey, you're on your feet because of me. I gave, and so on. There's no point. The same applies whatever we do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it should be solely for His pleasure. Subhanallah. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decision for a woman to cover her hair. So naturally, if we want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will cover our hair. Not because I said or you said, my maker whom I'm going to return to is the one who decided that this is how it will be. So Allah says, you want to meet me? Well, there you are. You better do good deeds. فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Do deeds that are pure, acceptable, according to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we speak of in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to primarily know who Allah is. He made me. And this is why many people have spoken about the meaning of Allah. And I've read a lot of different researches and buhuthat which speak on the meaning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I have found one which explains it according to what I believe is the best da'wah even to the non-Muslims. If we were to say, أَلِهَا يَأْلَهُ أَلْمَأْلُوهُ اللَّهُ. If we were to say, it is from to be worshipped, the worshipped one, Allah, which would mean, I call my maker the worshipped one. So when I say Allahu Akbar, I am saying the worshipped one is the greatest. Which would then mean, whoever made me, is who is the greatest, subhanallah. And this is why I always say there is no risk in pure Islam when it comes to worship. The reason we say this is someone says, oh Jesus, they've taken a risk. Jesus may or may not be, and obviously this is not from an Islamic point, but from a general brain point of view, human brain. Jesus, save me. He may or may not be a savior. You've taken a big risk. You only live once, no point taking that risk. Leave it, throw it out. O Muhammad, save me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He may or may not be the one who can save you. So don't take that risk, throw it out. O Musa, save me. He may or may not. O saint, save me. He may or may not. Too big a risk, you only live once. O you, who is the owner of savior, save me. What risk have you taken? Subhanallah. O you who made me, have mercy on me. What risk have you taken? O owner of cure, cure me. Instead of, O saint, cure me. Saint may or may not. It's too big a risk. Allahu Akbar. O owner of cure, cure me. What risk have you taken? Nothing. O you whom I am going to return to when I return to you, have mercy on me. Grant me goodness, grant me paradise. What risk have you taken? Nil. No risk. Subhanallah. This is what is meant by Tawheed. The oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't want to involve others. No risk involved. And this is the fastest growing religion on the globe, if you'd like to know. Because it makes sense to everyone who's been worshipping sticks and stones and human beings for so long. Worshipping their wealth and worshipping everything else. What makes sense to them? Turn to my maker. When I cry, Allah says, do not confess your sin to that man or the saint or that pope. No. To me in the darkest corners of the night, nobody needs to know what you did between me and you. And do you know what? I will always forgive you. And I've mentioned this so many times. You want to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to engage in a lot of istighfar. Seek a lot of forgiveness. And what are the conditions? Firstly, admit your sin. Regret it. Ask for forgiveness and promise never to repeat it. There you are. There you are. Subhanallah. Allah says, guarantee it's forgiven with those four conditions. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Wherever did you hear anyone saying, you know, when we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, no one mentions Adab al-Aleem immediately or there or in the particular opening verse and so on. We always speak of the mercy of Allah. We speak of the fact that He is most merciful. Islam is based on mercy. I've heard lots of non-Muslims saying Islam is a religion that's based on evil and punishing people. Nay, It is based on so pure mercy that the most merciful is telling you, come directly to me, no risk involved, don't go to anybody else. How many of the clergy of other faiths are being investigated at this moment for sodomizing? Allah safeguard us. And for seizing the opportunity to do bad deeds when people come to them confessing their own bad deeds. Making those who are saying, my son, you are forgiven, far worse and far more in need of forgiveness than the ones they claim to have just forgiven. Allahu Akbar. How foolish. And naturally it's our right to believe whatever. With all due respect to them, they can continue doing that if they want, they are answerable to Allah. We have the right to consider it foolish. Subhanallah. And this is why the bigger problem is within Islam, within people who call themselves Muslims, you find sometimes shaitan using the same plan because shaitan scratches his head. He says, it worked there, let me try and work it here. They've all got a brain. So now he comes here and he works it here and guess what? We fall. Allahu Akbar. And that is why we have reminders of this nature. To say, turn back to who? To Allah. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our doors. Now we will understand this topic in the name of Allah. When we eat, it's in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the intention to eat? Not to have the juiciest Nando's burger ever. No, that's not the intention. Hey guys, you know Long Street? There's a lacquer restaurant, I'm telling you. It's there, I'll tell you, it's juice. We as Muslimin, subhanallah, we are taught to strike a balance. To strike a balance. What? You'll enjoy the meal in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will not, you see, when we make food the primary aim, we might compromise haram and halal. It's a fact. I know of people who say, don't worry, just chow. Just chow. I'm sure you've heard the term. Just eat. Just have it. Don't worry. You know? No. But if we were pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are not going to compromise halal and haram because Allah comes first. Then our taste buds come thereafter. Subhanallah. Look at how in the name of Allah we eat. This is why, as Muslimin, do you know we are taught the daily adhkar, the daily du'as, that are sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should try our best to read these du'as, to learn them, because then we would know if we knew the meaning of it. Not just pay lip service to it. Like I normally say, you know, you have the uncles, and I've seen them, and I've even spoken to a few of them. It's like they're having a marathon. Immediately after salah, they've got a tasbih. The tasbih is moving faster than their mouths can move. And sometimes they tell you, Salaamu Alaikum, bye. How are you doing? And the tasbih is moving. Brother, what are you doing? It's a marathon. Astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. And you know what I said the last time? I don't know if you've heard it. What I said is, if you listen to that statement, if it's uttered wrongly, it actually says, stuck for life. Wallahi. Stuck for life, stuck for life, stuck for life. You're stuck for life because you are not doing anything there. You are paying lip service to an act of worship that's supposed to be huge because it's not in the name of Allah. It's in the name of just fulfilling something by the way. Allah safeguard us. So when you say Astaghfirullah once, knowing its meaning in the name of Allah, with sincerity, it's better than uttering it 100 times in that particular fashion. Wallahi. And this shows us that whatever we do for the sake of Allah, in the name of Allah, is far more valuable than tons of the same thing being done, but without Allah in the picture, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you say, Astaghfirullah. Do you know what it means? We're admitting our sin. Literally, we're saying, I am criminal, I've done wrong, Ya Allah, I want you to forgive me. I am asking you to forgive me, Ya Allah. And if we say that once, there is a response. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ujibu da'wata da'i idha da'ani. Allah responds the call of the one who is calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, is Allah's response positive or negative? We know it's always positive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking for an excuse to forgive us. Do we give Him that excuse? That's the thing. And this is why we see, if you were to read the write-up, it says, have we prepared for the day? What have we done? How many times do we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the day? If we were to read our du'as, as soon as you get up in the morning, Allah, you're relating the day. Ya Allah, you've given me such a beautiful day. You've allowed my eye to open. When we are reclining at night, what do we say? Subhanallah. There are many du'as, many sunnah du'as. And sometimes if you don't know them, you can say something in the English language. Ya Allah, I ask you to grant me a good sleep, a sound sleep. Let me get up in the morning as an obedient slave of yours, Ya Allah. naturally the following day your hair won't be showing. Subhanallah. Naturally. Why? Because you're making the dua. It's in the name of Allah that you are living.
قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ
Say, my acts of worship, my prayer, absolutely everything I do, all acts of worship, whatever I do, my life, my death, everything is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is for Allah. I am alive for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Life is too short to be living it for someone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why when I was sitting with one of the ulama some time back, a statement he made that I only got to understand later on when I became, you know, a person who helps others or who tries to help others. This business of love, you know, I mean love, oh deep in love. What happens? I normally tell people, get them married. MashaAllah. I think everyone will be happy with that. Get them married. Because nowadays, people can lose their heads. That's how deeply they fall in love. If we had to be half in love with Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, I think we would solve a big problem. And I'm sorry to say this, that sometimes we love people much more than we could ever dream of loving Allah. And I've given the example. If you really love someone, haram love. Haram love. You're not supposed to be there. And the girl tells you, jump. You start doing this. Wallah, you start jumping. She says, jump higher. You jump. But when Allah says, Allahu Akbar, you can't do that. Hayya ala salah, you can't do that. So tell me, what's happening? And that woman might just look at someone else. Ah, he's more handsome. Okay, never mind, I'll tell him to jump. It's fine. It can happen. Allah won't let you down. And we're not prepared to do this for Allah. So know where to channel your love. The love for Allah. Allah won't let you down. Everybody else will let you down. So if you want to know, but why did he let me down? A lot of people say, but this is not the same person that I married. I tell you, before you married him, shaitan beautified him. Now shaitan went away to do it to someone else. So now you got to beautify it yourself. Allahu Akbar. Once you accepted him properly in the name of Allah, shaitan is gone. Now what's left? But there's no deen. So the hadith says, فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَكْ. Speaking about the qualities you look at. If you look at that character, the conduct, the deen, you're not going to go wrong. Because then you saw with what Allah told you to see, and everything will be okay. Inshallah, even if there are problems, you'll be able to overcome them. But if you had looked at that which Allah did not instruct you to look at, and things became glamorous and so on, then what? Now I know yesterday someone told me, and I'm going to clarify this very quickly, that look, we did it wrongly. Now what do we do? We still haven't faced all that disaster. I said, brother and sister, if you have married and you had courted in a wrong way and committed sin, please engage in tawbah. Allah will forgive you. You can always, that's the beauty of Islam. You can always go back and mend things. You don't have to say, right, I'm doomed, finished. It's over. No, in Islam there is no doom. Allah says, the doom is only the one who arrives on the day of Qiyamah and he loses. Then that's doom. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ I'm sure we know these verses where the book is given. One is given on the right, the other one on the left. As soon as the book is coming already, this person will say, oh no, it's coming on the left. That is the loser. But in the dunya, for as long as we are living, there is hope. We turn to Allah and Allah alone. I'd like to give you another example. You know, sometimes, and we are all students of knowledge, inshallah. When I say students of knowledge, it's important for us to know that al-ilmu bahrun la sahila lah. Knowledge is an ocean that has no coast. The minute you think you've arrived at a coast, what you have is something besides knowledge. Allahu Akbar. So what happens is, sometimes there are people who we consider knowledgeable. To respect them to the degree that we raise them to the level of godhood would be wrong. And I'd like to repeat another statement that I learned from one of the teachers in Madinatul Munawwara, one of the mashayikh in Madinatul Munawwara, when he had seen this, and he said, but these people are sitting. They don't, the fly can sit, the mosquito can bite them, they won't even flinch, nothing. And they're sitting in front of a human being. But in salah, they do this all the time. Their beards. He says, لَوْ تَأَدَّبُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ نِصْفَ مَا يَتَأَدَّبُونَ مَعَ مَشَايِخِهِمْ لَحَلَّتِ الْمُشْكِلَةِ That statement is powerful for those who know Arabic. Let me try to interpret it. He says, if they had to respect Allah half that which they are respecting these people, the problem would be solved. Why? Because people are not preparing for the meeting with Allah. They preparing for meetings with other people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. And as I said, you know, this conference is only going to instill within us the thirst to seek knowledge. It is very, very short. We're only going to hear a synopsis of every topic. If you were to ask me, subhanallah, I believe that I am just a motivational speaker. I never like to go into big details. Why? I believe if you want details, come and learn full time. Or, as Sheikh Bilal said moments ago, you have mashayikh of ours who taught us, mashallah, Sheikh Muhammad al-Mukhtar al-Shanqiti and the others. It takes them 5 years, 10 years for a book, to cover a book. They do a lesson a week. Then you go there every week, you're learning in depth and so on. And you know, long years and what have you. Then you expand your knowledge. But this is only something to motivate myself and yourself to become better people and to go out and seek pristine, pure, clean Islamic knowledge based on what Allah has said and what His Messenger has said. That is what will safeguard us. And that is what will really finally earn us Jannah, no matter what the world says about us. People might say, this man is rigid, this woman. I know of so many sisters who've decided only to cover their hair. And the family frowns, but you're young, how are you going to get married? Well, what, must they see that I was using Head and Shoulders before they marry me? Wallahi, that's the thing. So their own family members discourage them from this type of activity. No, sit down and understand. To please Allah, you may displease people in the process. To please Allah, you may displease people in the process. And sometimes they may be those who are closest to you. I know of husbands who've told their wives, take out this niqab, don't want it anymore. Take out this hijab, don't want it anymore. Hey, relax. The last person I thought it would come from. No. When I married you, you were in jeans. This is why I say that if you'd like to marry, and I'm going to end with this, I know my time is almost up and it's Maghrib that is going to stop us. This is why I like to say, if you'd like a good spouse, dress in a way that only those who love that level of deen would then be attracted to you. Subhanallah. If they saw you in a miniskirt and they loved it, the day you decide to progress spiritually, if it's not happening in sync with your spouse, you're dead meat. Wallahi, it's a fact, because that's what they loved in you. They liked it. So now that you want to progress spiritually, what's going to pull you back? Your choice of a husband. Allahu Akbar. May Allah safeguard us. Wallahi, there's a lot to be said. And I hope what I've said so far has at least, you know, shaken us a little bit and been a motivation for myself and yourselves. There is still a lot that can be said and must be said. But as I said, inshallah, we will be, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal, learning as much as we can of this deen. Sometimes we spend years on end learning books and books in order to become accountants and lawyers and doctors and specialize and what have you. And then when it comes to the book that will take us through to the akhirah, we haven't even spent a little while a day. How many times a day do we think of Allah? It's a question. And I end with a final question. What new Islamic knowledge do I gain every day? What new Islamic knowledge do I gain every week? Or how often do I actually gain new Islamic knowledge? Wallahi, the answer to that will tell us how weak or how strong we are in terms of preparation to the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make that day easy for myself and yourselves. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open all our doors until we meet again. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammadin wa sallamu alaykum.